our songs, Father, through our worship here, Father, but also through our lives, Lord. May we worship you in everything we do, Father. Especially when we're not here, Father, at church, in our daily lives, Father. When we're out there at work, Father. When we're at home with our friends and our family, Father. May we worship you through what we do, Jesus. May you change our hearts, Father, that we know what real worship means, Lord. That you will give us a deeper revelation of your truth, what it means to serve you, Father. And Father, thank you for just this amazing time that we can spend with you in song, Father, that you've given us music, you've given us song, Father, as tools to worship you. Thank you that we're just so blessed, Father. Thank you for, I'm just reminded of, Lord, that when we're going to spend eternity with you, Father, we're going to sing praises to you forever, which we're going to be amazing, Father. And I thank you for that, Jesus. This is just a taste of what we can experience with you, Father, in eternity, Lord. Thank you that you've blessed us with these glimpses on earth, Father, of your kingdom to come, Father, and that we can be part of it. Yeah, so I just want to pray for this, the message that Tanya is going to be sharing, Father. I pray that you will just bless her and guide her, Holy Spirit. May you speak through everything that she's going to say to us today, and may, yeah, your Holy Spirit just touch every person's heart wherever you want to speak to them, Father. Just pray a blessing over her and blessing over this time together for them. We'll pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, Tanya, you can come up. Just want to introduce Tanya to you guys and give you a short testimony of something cool. So as a team, we didn't really know who was supposed to do the sermon. So when we prayed about it, we thought, okay, well, we're just going to follow what God says. And then initially God told me that it's going to be a lady that's going to bring the sermon. Initially, I'm like, okay, I don't know if it's going to be like that. That wouldn't have been my first choice, to be honest. But then I was like, okay, cool. Lady preaching, cool. And then when God said Tanya needs to give the message, it was amazing for us to hear that what God laid on her heart to share with us today is basically continuing on from what God has been sharing with the church here, the previous sermons, which we weren't even part of. So just wanted to share that with you, encourage you that the Holy Spirit works regardless of where you are. If you're in South Africa or in the Netherlands, he continues on with what he wants to do. So yeah, thank you, Tanya, for sharing today. I'm excited.
Hi, everyone. I'm just going to drink a glass of water, yeah? So my name is Tanya. I'm from South Africa, as you already know. And basically, my mom's Chinese and my dad's Afrikaans, hence the tropical look. And just a small testimony about me. I'm a student at the moment, doing my honors in marketing. And I met the Lord when I was at school. I didn't grow up in a religious home or background. I remember my mom prayed with me once when I was like, yay big. Ever since then, God has been talking to me and showing me more about him through school and the teachers there and stuff. And then I went on a camp in grade 8. And the pastor, I remember specifically, said, if you're going to heaven? And I was a bit hesitant. I talked to God, but I don't know. I was a bit shaky. And then he just said, you have nothing to lose, just give your heart to the Lord. And I was like, well, no, I want to give my heart to God. And I did, and it was like he romanced me, like we were on our first date basically. And ever since then I've been walking with him and just learning more. So I would just like to open up with a poem I found this week. Life, a beautifully written tale. How sad it would be had the author never written your story, had your pages been left blank, your owner your cover never printed, your journey left untold. How sad it would be had you been left on a shelf, never to be opened, never to be read, just a cover, a story untold. But it was not your fate. It wasn't what you were set out to be. You were meant to be of substance, written, edited, printed, and read. For your story tells a tale. As your pages are filled one by one, it illuminates the existence of the author, the existence of his love, not only for him to write, but that he also creates. Okay, so if you just close our eyes. Father God, I just thank you, Lord, for a privilege to be in your church tonight, Lord Jesus. Thank you that we can gather here as a congregation. And your Holy Spirit, I just ask, will you please come minister to us tonight? Will you speak to us? And yeah, may your words just flow freely, Lord. May we hear from you directly, Lord Father God. And yeah, I just thank you for your rivers of living water in Jesus' name. Okay, amen. So originally, when I heard purity, I kind of freaked out a bit because it's like, whoa, purity. And yeah, when you think of the word, I don't know, for me, the first thing that came to mind was white. I was like, white is purity. And of course, I don't know, sexual purity came to mind, and cleanliness, virginity, all those things can be associated with purity. The dictionary defines purity as to not be mixed with any other substance, free from impurities and hasn't been tainted. And the Latin word is purus, it means clean. And yeah, so I asked God, like, what does he want to reveal? What is his heart? And yeah, he just basically gave me these amazing scriptures. Matthew 5 verse 8 says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." And yeah, that his heart is really not for us to be pure the moment we meet him, to first be pure before we invite him inside, or to get to be perfect before we can have a relationship with him, but through knowing him and through hearing from him, through spending more time with him, we get to be more like him, and he is pure and he is holy. And in that context, in that verse, it just means free from motives in your heart, just purely wanting to serve God for no other reason. And then just a short testimony I want to share, which was really awesome for me. Malachi, that John delivered before the service, that message about bringing the tithes into the storehouse is really near to my heart, because at the end of last year, I really asked God, what should I do? And I was ready to go work. I really also felt that I wanted to do like a Bible study or theology or something. But if I was to study further, I would need finances. And I was a bit jealous and a bit hard-hearted. And I was like, Lord, you provide for everyone. Like, you make the sun shine over the righteous and the unrighteous. Why is it so hard now? And he revealed to me that scripture. And I was like, wow, okay. So I knew that it wasn't like I needed to give money every week to the church out of a law thing, because I can't earn it. But I was like, okay, God, if that's your heart, then I'll do that. And I started tithing. And I came upon one bursary that is applicable to my degree. And I applied for it. And it was end of December. And in January, God was like, here you go. You were obedient and you were faithful. So I just want to encourage you guys. Like, he's specific. He's not stingy or greedy. He really loves us and he wants to bless us with everything in us, with everything that he has. So I don't know why I said that. I just felt I had to share that. And then further, in Psalm 51, verse 6, the Lord's heart is just really, behold, you desire truth in the innermost being, and in the hidden part you will make me know wisdom. It just ties back to the fact that not only does he desire purity, and not only does purity come with untainted motives, but it comes with truth, and with that He wants to give us wisdom. He wants to give us His wisdom, not any worldly wisdom, not anything that we think is good, but what He knows is good. And I just want to reiterate that Jesus speaks of being pure, and He came to fulfill the law. He gave us all these things to follow, His scripture. He sends us so that we'll know how to be with Him and spend more time with Him and be holy as He is holy, and that we can live and abide in Him, and then He will purify us. So His desire, as you know, like the verse in Matthew 5 says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." His ultimate desire is for us to be able to see Him. Obviously, can't happen now because we're on earth, but when He comes, He wants us to be ready. He wants us to be as clean and as spotless as we can be. And then further, just tying back to Malachi, when God put the verse, "But who can endure the day of His coming, and who can stand when He appears? For He is like a refiner's fire and like the fowler's soap. He will sit as a smelter and a purifier of silver, and He will purify the sons of Levi and refine them like gold and silver, so they may be present in the Lord, so they may present to the Lord offerings in righteousness." And that just ties back to the fact that whatever we bring to the table, it can't be pure and holy, it can't be good without Him, and that's why we need to accept Him. We need to spend time with Him, get to know His heart, and through that He will enable us to become pure and righteous offerings to Him. And it's not something that just happens once in your life. It's not just something that you do quickly and it's over and done with. Oh, I'm giving my heart to God, it's easy, and from there on it just happens. It's a process, and I think the world is so impatient and we are so quick. We're in a fast food culture. Everything just happens quickly, here, there, everywhere. But God is not like that. He's more into slow cookers, and He prepares leaders and nice meals with a slow cooker, letting it be prepared well. Let the grounds be prepared well. Let everything that's not of Him be shaken off, that He can stand. Just back to my testimony. Well, I met God, and I was stand-up girl. Primary school already, I was head girl, and I had this identity tied to me. Like, I was smart, and if I did not perform, because back in our schools we have a top 10, so it was very performance driven, and if I had it locked up in me, if I didn't make it first on that top 10, then I wasn't Tanya. How crazy is that? And when I met God, God was like, no, that's not who you are. And I realized there was an idol in my life, and slowly but surely I laid it down. And my mom and dad were a bit like, what's going on? She's spending less time studying. She's in grade 8 and she's not spending weekends in front of her books. What is happening? Why does she want to go to church? And I told my mom when I came to salvation, she's Catholic, and my dad is actually Dutch Reformed. And I told them about it, and I was like, oh, I really want to go to church. Back then, I remember I wanted to go to church so that when I come back, because it was like a follow-up camp, if I come back, I want to be able to say, oh, I've been to church. Like, that's a thing that's happened. So we went to a Catholic church, me, my mom, my dad, I think for about 2 weekends. And that was so challenging. We felt like aliens. No one welcomed us the entire time we were there. No one greeted us. Everyone was in their own business, doing their own things. We saw people sitting on their knees before the time, so we sat on our knees before the time and saw them praying, so we prayed. But I was just excited to be in a church. You know? I was trying to sit and I was really trying to listen. But I don't know, I just couldn't. So after that, I think one Sunday, all of us fell asleep. And then we never went back. So I went back to church. I went back to the church camp. And there I told the pastor that led me to salvation, I'd love to go to church. Does he know anything? And he's like, yeah, you can come to us. It's really awesome. And I was so excited. Like, I don't know. I was like beside myself excited about going to church and just hearing more about God. And I got in the church there, and he was really an awesome youth pastor. There was many church camps. I remember my first church camp, we went on a prayer walk, and we walked around the camp praying for just the people there. And yeah, it was really awesome. It was my first encounter with the Holy Spirit, actually. It just felt so natural and so alive and exciting. And yeah, I started slotting in, getting more a bit of negativity from the home. And my mom and dad just couldn't understand. Being young, and that was like, in my eyes, my rebellion. But yeah, being young, I was like, oh, I'm going to do this. And yeah, I didn't even think of inviting them with or asking them to come with. And in my grade 11 year, I got baptized at the sea. And that was a big knock to my mom. She couldn't believe I was baptized without telling her. And I really didn't think she would even care. But it was actually a very special thing to her that she would have wanted to witness. And yeah, I kind of regret actually not telling her. So it just shows that even though we think we know what's going on in people's lives, or we think we know where they're at, we really don't. So yeah, it ties back to 1 Samuel 16 verse 7, where God really, it just says God looks at the heart. Like, man may look at the outer appearances, but he looks at the heart. And yeah, he enables us. Psalm 119 also says, verse 9 says, he enables us through his word. And that's the only way that we can guard our hearts and follow him to become pure and to become holy. And it's so crazy, because that's the one thing, is his word, that you can spend years on this earth doing school. Children get taught to go to school. They get taught to learn wiskunde sommetjies, math sums, and all these things, all these knowledge. They get learned about evolution and all these things, but the word is not being taught to kids. And yeah, it just shows us that if that's one thing in our lives we really wrap ourselves around or just delve into, should be the word, because it's our lamp, it's our light, and it's the way God also, he uses it to purify our hearts, to read it and think, wow, what's happening, why I'm not doing this, should I be doing this? James also, I think it's in James, it says, be doers of the word and not just hearers, deceiving yourselves. And as I grew up, I realized it's really an important part. It's a big part, like the church of today is missing. It's there's many people preaching and talking, but not being doers of the word. And so I was elected head girl again in high school, and being very headstrong and very driven and, yeah, opinionated, I was like, God was so gracious, because I didn't know how to lead, and I just knew I wanted to lead as God wanted me to lead. So there was other stuff I'd really do half-heartedly and work in teams half-heartedly, but when it came to having to, in our school, they have, like, every morning you read from the word, and back then the prefects had to organize who's going to be preaching or whatever, or delivering, and I would deliver a message as though it was no tomorrow. And then after I came to varsity, I just realized that it's dangerous. It's dangerous to just stand up and say what you think God is saying to people. But you should know that he's sending you, and you should know, spend time first with him. Spend time making your relationship solid with him, making sure that you really know what he wants from you before just going out and telling people, don't do that, don't do that, don't do that. Look at yourself first. I really also want to encourage that it's a hard thing. Like, God is not going to come, and yes, he is going to look one day when he comes at what we did here and what we did with the life he gave us and everything. But he's going to come for he's a heart. He wants our hearts. He's going to come for our hearts. And I just want to encourage that. Just guard your heart. In Proverbs 4, verse 23, it says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Or other translations would say it's the wellspring of life. And, it's awesome piece of scripture, because the world is so easy to say, put your heart in it, or pour out your heart over everything. Our Afrikaans culture back home was like, give everything for this. And slowly but surely, yes, you put everything into your schoolwork, or you put everything into other areas, and you don't realize that you're opening up yourself sometimes for other things. And I was a hopeless romantic. So as a lady, I used to watch so much love stories. And so when John said, Hollywood tells us about romance, I'm like, yeah, nah, I know that story. because I watched it and I believed it. I believe that there's a soulmate out there for everyone, and that's the sole purpose of your being. And for a long time, it was a struggle, especially when you're in high school, your hormones are like crazy. And you think about love and whatever. But it was just awesome to see that God really kept me protected. I didn't step into relationships because of that time that he came to meet me. I'd spend time with him. Not saying dating is unbiblical or anything. but I think our culture and the romantic stories out there in the world make it so easy to accept that. We just want to accept, yes, there's a soulmate for everyone. And yes, I want to build my life around some person. But that's a very dangerous place to be, because you're making that person your God instead of God your God. And that's why the Bible says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines your life. Many times people will be walking, you'll hear what's in their heart. You'll hear it. Don't just be accepting of everything, but test the things. And then further, 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 3 to 8. This comes into, just sanctification. So how to be set apart, how to help on the Holy Spirit to talk to you. Just says sanctification. Let me just open up the... Okay, no. Sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality. Each know how to control his own body in holiness and honor, not in passion of lust like the Gentiles who don't know. And we can be made right, and we can be holy with God. He enables us to do all these things. And the world makes it seem as if you should follow your own flesh, but that's wrong. You shouldn't follow your own will, and you shouldn't follow your own flesh. For to be disobedient to God is the word actually says it's witchcraft. So when we get to spend time with God and we get to follow his will, we get to walk in his path and abide in him. But whenever we stray a path and follow our flesh, when the fall of man happened, then we just become more like this world. And that's not what we were created for to be. Then we get taken out of his cover, and that's how hurt happens. That's how we get so hurt and so broken. No, it's not how we get broken. We are broken. we were fallen into sin when Adam and Eve ate that apple. So but the word also just enables us. Well, the Holy Spirit enables us through the word that it says in 1 John 1 verse 9, we can be made right through repentance. And basically that if we repent of our sins, he will hear us, and he will... Sorry, I just want to open up the scripture so that I can read that to you. It just says here, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I just want to share a small testimony. Might be a bit personal. People don't talk about these things, but God is good, and he is a healer, and he does bring yeah, he does forgive us our sins and cleanses us. So a part of my story is also when I was young, I don't know how it happened. I can't explain it to anyone. And to me, I can't actually believe it happened. But I was very small. And from the beginning, I struggled with masturbation. And it's not something that ladies are known for, whatever. But it was really just something I struggled with. And I didn't have a name for it. I was really young. I think I was maybe 6, 5, primary school. And I didn't have a name for it, but I just knew this is not right. This is weird. And I would do it, and I would think, oh my word, what am I doing? Why am I doing this? I don't know what's going on. And it just kept going on and on with me until I was in high school as well. Even knowing the Lord or living according to me, I was living a righteous life. I mean, I was head girl. I'd never slept with a guy, or I wasn't drinking. I was studying, so I was a good person. Though I had this one thing with me, this lust, just with me since small. And as I got to know God more, He revealed to me, "No, this is not for you. Don't do this." And I was stubborn, so I didn't listen. You know, like your conscience is like telling you don't do this, and you're like, well, why not? And when I got baptized, and as I was growing in high school, I just more and more it just came to me, no, don't do it, don't do it. And I try to put it down, everything. And it was out of a place, I think, of acceptance in a sense. And as I my first year, second year, I went to university and thought it was dealt with. It happened not regularly. It was fine. I mean, it was tied also to seeing episodes of Bold and the Beautiful ever since I was a baby and all those people. And then I had a cell group leader, and I told her, we were accountability partners back then in my second year, and I was like, Matsepo, I'm really struggling with this. I don't know, like, what is it? What's going on? And, yeah, she shared her testimony with me. She also had struggled with that, but God delivered her. And we prayed together. And sure as that was, like, the last time I ever struggled with that. And it was crazy because all these years of carrying it in a bag behind you, thinking, you know, it's all right, but knowing inside you it's not all right. And then God just picks it up. So I just, back to the word that says, yeah, we must repent, like by bringing it into the light, we enable God to do His work. We enable Him to cleanse us and purify us of the gunk we're carrying with us that the world just so easily sticks onto us. And Satan wants us to keep it in the dark. He wants us to keep it hidden. He wants us to think, oh, you shameful person, keep it there. But God's heart is not for that. And He can only work once you bring it to the light, once you bring it to your brother or sister and share it with them and pray. And sometimes it's a process, and sometimes it happens instantly. So, yeah, that's just there. And then further, 2 Timothy 2:21, it just speaks about cleansing ourselves, makes us vessel of honor before God, and to be useful to the master of the house. And that just comes back to the more we pursue God and the more we allow Him and His word to cleanse us, to let everything out, to not take offense, but to let it go and let scripture really speak to us, the more He can use us. And the Bible also speaks of the Holy Spirit coming to live in us and God being within us. And we can't be vessels of honor to God if we have all these little things in our lives, all these small things just popping up. And we say, yes, we serve God, but we have these hidden things in our hearts that just hide Him from being able to use us. Not hide Him from being able to use us, but not enabling Him to use us fully. Yeah, so I just want to say that, like, Jesus came for our sins, and we can't cleanse ourselves in full, but we have a part in it. We choose to sin just as I chose to masturbate back then, even though not knowing what it was. But the Holy Spirit empowers us to walk in righteousness. And grace is not sinning and then just putting it at the back of your mind, or knowing you struggle with something and just leaving it in the back of your mind. But grace is just listening to that voice saying, no, my child, don't do this. And letting God's full power work in that area in your life, enabling you to walk away from what you so sometimes in the hidden want to walk to. And then just Proverbs 17 verse 3 says, the crucible is for silver and the furnace is for gold, and the Lord tests hearts. So through scripture we can see that God will test our hearts with every single thing, with all our desires we have. When we say we really love him, he will test us in that. When we say we lay down these things, he will test us in that. And so for me, it's cool because that's about, as a student, the thing you do the most. You might test, and many students don't like it. But you know what? Like, God enables us to pass that test. Jesus already won at the cross. All we have to do is just walk in it. We can study scripture and use the weapon that God gives us in our hands. I mean, he calls it a two-edged sword, sharper than anything on this earth, cutting through flesh, spirit, soul, and bone. And sometimes I think we take that for granted. It just looks like a book, and yes, they look like words, but God uttered this whole universe into being through words, through his word. The power of life and death is in the tongue. Just Jeremiah 17 verse 9 just confirms that the heart is deceitful. It's so easy for us to let things into our hearts. And even from young, a child is not, babies are associated with purity, and it's easy to think children are pure. But when you look at them and you spend time with them, you'll notice there is sin from the beginning. There is disobedience. no matter how cute they are naughty. Just further on, Hebrews 9 verse 14 says, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from the dead works to serve the living God? And that just also just speaks about God enabling us to walk with him in pure conscience, and that our works won't be dead when we serve him. I think that's a big thing tied to religion, is dead works. People think you can earn salvation, you can earn your spots, you need to do this and this and this before things will be perfect. And yes, there is a part in doing, like I said, we have a choice, but we must always remain reliant on the Holy Spirit. And just as I was also sitting here, God showed me just an image of clay and how hard it is. And he often refers to his word or himself as the living water, and that softens things and it keeps it flowing. And the moment we let go of the Holy Spirit, or we don't listen to the Holy Spirit or even our conscience, then we become hard of heart, and it becomes so much easier for sin to sit there, and everything just clutters and it gets clogged. And the water can't flow, and God can't flow through us. So then the last scripture I want to share with you is 1 John 1, verse 6 to 9. And it just says, if we say we have fellowship with him, and we walk in darkness, we lie, and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all our sin. And to me, that was just such a special verse. I remember I read it last year. God was sent it to me again, and it was just out of a place where I really, it's hard to to be a Christian in a home where your mother and father are like looking at you constantly and everything you do. And yeah, just knowing that if I really profess to be a Christian and I really say that I let God into my heart, are my actions showing it? Am I really walking in love? Am I really doing what the Bible says? And it's amazing how God just brings it before you, brings the tests. We were in Pretoria and protests happened in my second year and in my third year. And it's easy to go with a riot and say, yeah, we should have free education and the government is bad and let's riot. But God's word doesn't say that. And it's easy coming out of a white background with a father that doesn't like black people and a mom that also doesn't to say, oh, I agree, they're so terrible. But that's not what the word says. The word says, love your brothers and sisters and think higher of them as of yourself. And yeah, that's not just loving them, giving them bread or money, but really caring for one another. And I believe that the moment that the church allows God to flow in that area, the moment we really lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters, will be the moment that God can work so powerfully in the church. We can really do miracles and change lives and flow as he wants to flow, because he really does want to flow. So yeah, the more we get to fellowship with him, the more he will cleanse us. And yeah, I think that's it. Yes. Yeah, so I just like to pray for us, if we can just close our eyes. Father God, thank you so much, Jesus, for just sharing your word with us, Lord Father. Thank you, God, that you are the author and the finisher of our faith, Lord Jesus. And Yoda, thank you that we don't have to focus on ourselves or think about ourselves and think that we're running this race alone, but thank you that you come alongside us, Lord, and you enable us to do that. Father, thank you that you are so for relationships. And Dad, I pray that you would help us to spend more time with you, Lord Father God. I pray that you would open up scripture to us, Lord. I pray that you would help us to understand, Lord Father God. And I thank you for sending your Holy Spirit with us. Thank you that your Holy Spirit will help us to know which scripture is applicable when. And we just honor and praise you for that. Lord Father God, thank you that you cleanse every heart and every sin, Lord Father. And I pray, Lord Father God, for the eagerness to bring to light whatever we are keeping in the dark, Lord. I pray that wherever, in whichever area we are deceitful, Lord, that or deceived, Lord, that you will show us, God, and that we can bring that before you. Thank you, Jesus, that you desire a pure heart. And I pray that for each and every person here, Lord. I pray that our hearts will be pure before you, Lord Jesus, that we can really come to you in a place where we love you and that you are everything to us, Father, every single thing. And we just thank you that you satisfy our souls, even though sometimes we think the world does. Help us to not look to the world, but to look to you, to look for comfort in you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Tanya, for sharing. We actually have a few stories we want to share. So we were busy this weekend with a course at church now with some of the congregation members. It's called Legacy. It's basically a course where we deal with things that, like Tanya was sharing about purity now, where you look back on your life and the story of how you've lived so far, and you identify those areas where purity has been broken, or where things have been done that you've lived through that didn't work out the way that God planned it. And you look back in those areas in your life and you see that God's redemptive power can come to restore those places where your purity has been broken, like Tanya shared in her testimony as well. Like God restores sexual purity, or God restores things that has happened in our past. And I'm just encouraged that we can share these real stories with each other. We've had it on our heart as a team coming from Pretoria, where God spoke to us clearly that there's a veil and a mask that we tend to wear which prevents us from actually getting to people's hearts. And that applies to all of us. It's easy to come to a church service on a Sunday and just sit there and greet people and say, yes, everything's going fine in my life. Meanwhile, you go home and everything's falling apart and you don't know what to do about it. I want to ask two people who were actually with us this weekend at the course where we dealt with those things in our lives that sort of breaks the purity. I want to ask two people, Martin and Carlaine, if they can just share a bit with us what God did over this weekend in their lives to sort of break those masks off and also show them their identity in Christ and what God actually meant for them to be. It's so important for us to remember that God created us before we were even born in a certain way, and he had a dream and a vision of how we should be and what he wants for us and the desires he has for us through our lives. And because we're born into a world of sin, that doesn't happen always like that. Because of ancestor sins, people who've come before, or our own sin, or just a broken world, things don't always go like we plan. Most of us have a lot of stories of broken things that happened or hurt that we had in our lives. And we just saw this weekend how God came to restore so many things in people's lives. So I just want to ask maybe Martin if you can come just share a bit on what God did this weekend for you.
Hello. So my name is Martin, as you heard. I had the privilege to to go to the Foundation 3 course, which the Shofar Pretoria team was just offered and facilitated for us. It was amazing. It was a lot of freedom that happened. And just something that you shared, actually, Tanya. Psalm 51, it was really just resonated within me, because through the whole weekend, the whole course, it was, just what David writes here. Behold, you delight in truth in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. And the whole weekend is just truth. But it's not just like, the sun is hot. It's like ridiculous truth. Like, the reason why you're here, like, you learn things like what covenant is, what is a family covenant, how important family is, how to be a father, how to be a mother in a family, what each person's role is, what your role is as a child in the kingdom, it's amazing. There's so much content, and I was tired at the end of it, I must be honest. I slept like quite late too this morning. Just on the prophetic side, was also amazing. What happened on Friday nights, we split up into little groups, and the facilitator just prayed for us individually, and it was Jean. He actually prayed for me, and he gave me he prayed something over my life, or he gave me a word, and I was like, okay, I've never met you in my life, but you said something that 3 months ago when I was in Stellenbosch at my other church, at Shofar Stellenbosch, we had a meeting, and we were just praying over praying for each other. We really like praying, and so this one guy, his name's Richard. He saw this insane, like, he just saw that, like, God giving me very specific tasks and telling me, like, just, like, really cool stuff. Really, just come speak to me afterwards and I'll explain to you. But what he said was literally, I was like, okay, God, what is this? Like, okay, this sounds cool. Like, it's getting me really excited. I really like what you're saying, but I'm like, I'm not exactly sure. And then just staying faithful to him. Just keep following, following his word. Also just following his heart and what he wants me to do. Obviously, I came back here, because I was here last year, and then anyway, I came back here now, and then they had the opportunity, then he prayed over me, and then it was like an extension of what Richard had said, and I was just like, okay, awesome, like, now I just have more of a, it's just amazing how God works, I don't even think he knows Richard, no, he doesn't even know Richard, so, like, it's just amazing how God works, because, like, as he said it, I was like, oh, man, I know exactly what you're talking about, and I started laughing, and I started getting excited as well. And that was amazing. Yeah.
Yeah, I can also just testify, because it wasn't me. I don't know this Richard guy, but I've heard of him, but I don't know him. So for me, it was so encouraging to know that I am not doing this. Because, like, the things I shared with Martin was not actually something I thought of. In my mind, I thought, like, okay, this must be the most random thing that I can tell this guy that I don't know. But God is faithful. Like I said earlier as well, with Tanya sharing on purity and the church here sharing on purity before, God is faithful in what he wants to do in people's lives. And that encourages me so much, because it takes off the burden off my shoulders to try and strive in my own strength to do things. And if we surrender to God and allow him to work things out in our lives, he will tell us what to do and he will show us that path. So there's also just one story I'd like Carlijn to come share with us. Specifically on the story on her identity and her name. If she can just tell us, it's a really cool story.
Thank you. Yeah, I thought you was gonna go that way. just to give you all a little bit background, I grew up in a non-Christian home, and I'm still the only one in my immediate family, my extended family, who's a Christian. So that is quite a heavy load as well sometimes, and I experienced a lot of negativity coming my way for making this choice. And growing up, I didn't really receive many loving words, just to put it that way. And I always used to hate my name, because my name, Carlijn, derives of the Dutch name Karel, which means a strong man. And growing up, I was kind of pushed in a way to be very manly and physically strong, and being a woman was a bad thing, like being sensitive was a bad thing. So I tried to compensate with doing a lot of like heavy lifting, because I was strong and I was stronger than men, and it caused me 2 back surgeries. So I was even quite stubborn, because the first time I still didn't get it, and I continued in the same process. And then during the sessions we started talking about being the strong man in the family, which is kind of like a special blessing to receive, that I, as the first Christian in my whole family, can receive being the blessing of the strong man in my family. And it just hit me. It really was a slap in the face, like a good way. but I did start crying, obviously. And to realize that somehow my parents chose this name for me prophetically. Well, they are very anti-God. They chose this name. And then to even know and to find out that my second name, Isabel, means devoted to God. So here I am, a strong man devoted to God. And so I'm very, very happy with that. Yeah.
Thanks. Thanks so much for sharing, Carlijn. Yeah, just to give you guys a bit of background, there's a lot of, like Tanya also shared, God's words have power. I mean, he spoke the universe into being. And also names and words have power. And the power of life and death is in our tongues as well. And just like that with Carlijn, that she experienced now yesterday, the power of your name and your identity carries a lot of weight as well. So like, don't underestimate the things we shouldn't underestimate the things we speak and even the names we give to people. It's a lot of weight, and every time you say that name, you declare that thing over a person. And so yeah, this weekend was really awesome. I just want to encourage everyone who is in the church, or even not, if you ever feel like you want more information on that, please come speak to us afterwards. Then I also just felt on my heart to share that purity is maybe something that most of you here are not at this stage so open to say, yes, here I am, Lord, I'm going to give you everything. I'm just going to put all my dirty laundry in front of you. And that's okay. And I want to ask if you guys will stand with me. I'd like to pray for everyone who feels like they are not pure enough, but that they have a desire in their heart to actually get to know the God who made them, and to experience that purity, because God is the only healer that can actually restore the places that have been broken and the places that are dirty. So yeah, I just want everybody to just close your eyes, and then I'm just going to lead us in a prayer. Oh, Father, thank you that you are the one that restores our purity, Lord, and you are the one that you know us so well, Father. You made us in specific ways, Lord, and you know that we can't do these things on our own, Father. We've tried many times. I've tried many times, Father, and I know everyone here has tried to fix things in their lives, Father, that they can't do on their own. Otherwise, we would have fixed it already, Jesus. And, yeah, Father, we are so dependent on just your love, Father, and your power to free us, Father. And in my life as well, Father, I know that I was also at a place, Father, where I was stuffing everything into my life, where I had these gaps, Father. I thought, like, if I could just figure you out, Father, then I'll be okay. I don't really need you. Like, that was one of the things where I needed to be made pure, because I just stuffed in knowledge, just like Tanya shared, Father. An idol of knowledge, Father, where I thought that learning about you, Father, will be enough, but it wasn't enough, Father. And for many of us here, Father, as well, sexual things, Father, including myself, having been in pornography and masturbation as well in my past, Father, and you came to set me free of that, Father. And I know there's so many people here who are craving for your freedom, Lord, craving for that, just that release where they can take off that burden off their shoulder and know that you place a burden on our shoulder that is light, Father. Your yoke is light. And yeah, well, I just want to pray for any person here who feels like they're just tugging at their heart, and they might feel like they don't know this Jesus, and these stories that the people shared, that sounds weird, and you don't know how can these people actually be in relationship with a God that's so loving and so personal and so real, Father. Like we were sharing through these testimonies, Lord, you are real, Father, and you don't want us to wear masks in front of you. You don't want us to come to you as a perfect person already sorted out, because we can't do that, Lord. We can't be sorted out on our own, Father. We've tried and we failed. We're in this broken world, Father, where there's nothing that really brings hope, Father, except you, Jesus. In my life, I just know that there was nowhere else that I found hope that stayed. I always found things that it'll fulfill you temporarily, and then a few months down the line, you're back at square one. Whatever you tried didn't work out. You just feel empty inside. And Jesus, I thank you that you are my hope and you are my light. And ever since I invited you into my heart, Jesus, your hope has never died. Even though I go through the same things that many people go, difficulties, and it wasn't a promise of having an easy life or a perfect life, Father, but I have hope, Father. I have hope in you, not in myself, because I can't change myself. I just want to pray for all of you here who are feeling, just if you feel in your heart that you would like that opportunity to actually come into a relationship with a God that is so real and so personal, and cares for you, like cares for you before you even care about him or know about him. He sent his son to die for us. He sent Jesus to earth to be a sacrifice for us so that we can be made pure. We can't achieve that purity on ourselves. We are dirty and we need someone to come wash us clean. So I just want to ask if you could just take a moment, and if you feel like you're lost, you need to be made pure, and you're hopeless, maybe stuck in specifically sexual sins or things that are holding you down, that you're not getting breakthrough and you're not getting anywhere with it, I want to encourage you, if there's anyone like you, with everyone's eyes closed, I don't want you to look around, but for me to see, if you can please just raise your hand up so that I can pray with you, if there's anyone like that.
see those lines, you can let them down. Oh, Father, I just want to pray just your blessing over us, Father, your love and your redemption, Lord, that you are our Savior. Father, I pray for every person here who feels dirty on the inside, Father, or just hopeless, Lord. I pray that you will restore them, Holy Spirit, back to a place where they feel safe enough to run to you, Father, and tell you these things, to show them their real selves, Father. That they'll be able to take off their masks and be bold to tell you the things that's really on their hearts. Father, thank you for that freedom that you give us, Lord, that you set us free from this world, Father, and that we are not of this world, Father, that one day these things will pass away, Father, and we'll be with you in heaven where your purity will be all that we have, Father, and it'll be a freedom and a joy that will never end. I thank you for that, Lord. So, yeah, I just want us to just worship together. I feel like God just wants to minister to our hearts now as we sing a few more songs, that while we're singing, I want you to just lay down those things that you feel are dirty in your life. Specifically, I feel on my heart, if it's sexual things, I feel there's quite a few people who are feeling ashamed and dirty because of sexual sins. As we are singing, please feel free to worship, and you're welcome to come to the front. Some of us will be at the front to just pray for those who feel like they need any prayer. And yeah, so enjoy the time of worship. And then for all the visitors and everyone else, please feel free to stay afterwards for coffee and tea. Don't just disappear. We like getting to know you guys, talking to you, finding out who you are. So please come introduce yourselves. As well, the Pretoria team would love to meet everyone. So please just come say hi before you leave. So yeah, we can just go into a time of worship together.